So yesterday was Mokshada Ekadasi, the day on which the Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Lord Krishna to Arjuna. So today we shall read from the Bhagavad Gita and discuss some of the significance of the advent of the Bhagavad Gita. We shall read from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 4, Transcendental Knowledge, text 2. Please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Evam
Evam
Parampara
Parampara
Praptam
Praptam
Imam
Imam
Raja Rishaya,
Raja Rishaya,
Vidu,
Vidu,
Sa,
Sa,
Kalena,
Kalena,
Iha,
Iha,
Mahata,
Mahata,
Yoga,
Yoga,
Nashta,
Nashta,
Parantapa,
Parantapa,
Evam Parampara Praptam,
Evam Parampara Praptam,
Imam Rajarshayo Vidu,
Imam Rajarshayo Vidu,
Sakaleneha Mahata,
Sakaleneha Mahata,
Yoga Nashta Parantapa,
Yoga Nashta Parantapa,
Evam Parampara Praptam,
Evam Parampara Praptam,
Imam Rajarshayo Vidu,
Imam Rajarshayo Vidu,
Sakaleneha Mahata,
Sakaleneha Mahata,
Yoga Nashta Parantapa,
Yoga Nashta Parantapa,
Evam Parampara Praptam,
Evam Parampara Praptam,
Imam Rajarshayo Vidu,
Imam Rajarshayo Vidu,
Sakaleneha Mahata,
Sakaleneha Mahata,
Yoga Nashta Parantapa,
Yoga Nashta Parantapa.
Does anyone know this verse by heart? Otherwise we can pass around the book. Okay, Radhika.
Evam Parampara Praptam,
Evam Parampara Praptam,
Evam Rajarshayo Vidu,
Evam Rajarshayo Vidu, Sakaleneha Mahata,
Yoga Nashta Parantapa,
Yoga Nashta Parantapa. All right, please repeat. Evam,
Evam,
thus,
thus,
Parampara,
Parampara,
by disciplic succession,
by disciplic succession,
Praptam,
Praptam,
received,
received,
Imam,
Imam,
this science,
this science,
Raja Rishaya,
Raja Rishaya,
the saintly kings,
the saintly kings,
Vidu,
Vidu,
understood,
understood,
sa, that knowledge,
that knowledge,
Kalena,
Kalena,
in the course of time,
in the course of time,
Iha,
Iha,
in this world,
in this world,
Mahata,
Mahata,
great,
great,
Yoga,
Yoga,
the science of one's relationship with the Supreme,
the science of one's relationship with the Supreme,
Nashta,
Nashta,
scattered,
scattered,
Parantapa,
Parantapa,
O Arjuna,
O Arjuna,
subduer of the enemies,
subduer of the enemies.
Translation. This supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way. But in the course of time, the succession was broken, and therefore the science as it is appears to be lost. Please repeat. This supreme science,
this supreme science,
was thus received,
was thus received,
through the chain of disciplic succession,
through the chain of disciplic succession,
and the saintly kings,
and the saintly kings,
understood it in that way,
understood it in that way,
but in the course of time,
but in the course of time,
the succession was broken.
The succession was broken.
And therefore the science as it is,
and therefore the science as it is,
appears to be lost.
Appears to be lost.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is clearly stated that the Gita was especially meant for the saintly kings, because they were to execute its purpose in ruling over the citizens. Certainly, the Bhagavad Gita was never meant for the demonic persons who would dissipate its value for no one's benefit and would devise all types of interpretations according to personal whims. As soon as the original purpose was scattered by the motives of the unscrupulous commentators, there arose the need to reestablish the disciplic succession. 5,000 years ago, it was detected by the Lord Himself that the disciplic succession was broken, and therefore he declared that the purpose of the Gita appeared to be lost. In the same way, at the present moment also, there are so many editions of the Gita, especially in English, but almost all of them are not according to authorized disciplic succession. There are innumerable interpretations rendered by different mundane scholars, but almost all of them do not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, although they make a good business on the words of Sri Krishna. This spirit is demonic, because demons do not believe in God, but simply enjoy the property of the Supreme. Since there is a great need of an edition of the Gita in English, as it is received by the Parampara, the cyclic succession system. An attempt is made herewith to fulfill this great want. The Bhagavad Gita, accepted as it is a great boon to humanity. But if it is accepted as a treatise of philosophical speculations, it is simply a waste of time. Translation again. This supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way. But in the course of time, the succession was broken, and therefore the science as it is appears to be lost. In the previous verse, Lord Krishna explains the history of the Bhagavad Gita from a very remote time. He explains that he imparted this knowledge to Vivashvan, the sun god. Vivashvan instructed it to Manu, and Manu instructed it to Ikshvaku. The calculation of when this took place is millions of years ago, and that disciplic succession that began with Vivashvan, the sun god, in the course of time became broken. Or people who were misinterpreting the Bhagavad Gita became more prominent, and therefore the original intention of the Gita was more or less lost. And therefore Krishna saw the need to present the same knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita again, to reestablish the disciplic succession. And for this purpose, he arranged for Arjuna to come into a sort of illusion, the illusion that all of us are in fact, of identifying with the body and considering the relations based on the body to be of special importance to him. And therefore, when he saw the army arrayed before him, he did not want to fight, because he saw that these are my own people, Swajana, they're my own kinfolk. He said to Krishna that I came here to fight, to get my kingdom, to be happy, but I'm seeing just the opposite. I'm facing in battle Swajana, my own people, my own family members. How can I fight my own family members? And even if I win the kingdom, how will I enjoy it without my family members? Srila Prabhupada explains this psychology of ordinary people, materialistic people, that they can enjoy their wealth only when they can show it off to others. I mean, what's the use of having a big, beautiful house with nice furniture and fittings if you can't show it off to your family and friends? So Arjuna was placed in ignorance or illusion by Krishna to create the situation in which Krishna could speak the Bhagavad Gita to dispel this illusion. But Srila Prabhupada explains further this psychology of wanting to enjoy with family and friends, wanting to show off one's achievements to one's family and friends. He says that this psychology of wanting to enjoy with family, friends, and friends exists originally with Krishna. That Krishna exists in the spiritual world, and he has his family and friends in the spiritual world, and they enjoy pastimes together. In fact, the reason that the living entities exist is to reciprocate with Krishna in love and to increase Krishna's pleasure. Ordinary people also have the same psychology. They, I mean those who do, most people, they get married because they think, oh, if I have a wife, I'll be happy. I'll be happier than without a wife. And then after you get a wife, I think, well, I'll have a child. If I have a child, I'll be happy. So that's the general psychology or general intention. But that same word that Arjuna uses, Viparyaya, which means just the opposite. He came to the battlefield to fight, to win his kingdom, to become happy. But Viparyaya, he was seeing just the opposite. And so it happens in material life. We marry to become happy. We have children to become happy. But sooner or later, something happens, Viparyaya, and it's just the opposite. But with Krishna, in the spiritual world, it's not the opposite. It's exactly what we want. So anyway, this is the situation in which Arjuna found himself. That Krishna, you brought me here to fight, and I thought by following your instructions and fighting I'll become happy, but now I'm seeing just the opposite. I have to fight against my own kinsmen and kill my own kinsmen, and then even if I win the kingdom, how will I be able to enjoy it? Because how can I enjoy it without my family and friends, facing just the opposite. And he was thinking, Srila Prabhupada explains, he was thinking, I made a mistake in following Krishna's instruction. And he actually wanted to avoid the instruction. He said, he threw down his bow and arrows and said, Krishna, I will not fight. Defied the order of Krishna, because Viparyayat is saying the opposite. He wanted to be happy, but he's saying the opposite. So Srila Prabhupada explains that this is the condition of all materialistic people, that they always find the opposite. They want one thing and they get the opposite. He quotes a Bengali saying that I built a house to become happy, and then a fire came and destroyed the house. I'm most unhappy. Or as one British poet said, the well-conceived plans of mice and men often go astray. And what we did to find happiness ends in pain. The British poet Robert Burns said that. So, Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita for us, really, not for Arjuna. But he arranged that Arjuna should be in the same type of illusion that all conditioned souls are in, so that they could get the benefit of the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita. So this knowledge, as mentioned in the verse here, was meant for the Rajarshis, the saintly kings. We don't have saintly kings nowadays. We have democracy. And the system does not work very well, as we are experiencing. In one series of lectures that Srila Prabhupada was giving on the Bhagavad Gita, he remarked that America is supposed to have very good government, but we just see what kind of good government it has by the behavior of Mr. Nixon. That was during the time when Tricky Dick was the president, and he was exposed and threatened with impeachment. But in the Vedic system of monarchy, the rulers were trained both in spiritual knowledge and in good government, so that they could engage the people in devotional service. That was the first duty of the king, to engage the people in devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada comments that when they stopped doing that, when they became negligent in their duty of engaging the citizens in the service of the Lord according to religious principles, dharma. The system of monarchy failed, and then it was replaced. Even in some places where they have kings or queens, the king or queen is more or less just a figurehead, but the real government is constitutional. But the system of democracy is very problematic because people who are not qualified, either spiritually or materially, to rule are elected to the most important posts. The only qualification they have is the ability to get votes. That's all. If they can get votes, they can be elected to any position without any real knowledge of who they are, who God is, what the purpose of life is, what the duties of the ruler are. They may be completely ignorant. And that's the position. That's actually the position. And so people are suffering. This knowledge is meant for Rajarshis, saintly kings. In Bombay, Srila Prabhupada entered an agreement to buy some land at Juhu. And then there were complications in getting the land. The owner actually tried to cheat Srila Prabhupada. But in the end, Srila Prabhupada got it. But the owner and his allies, you know, bore a very strong grudge, you know, that Srila Prabhupada got the land, which is very precious and prestigious. They wanted to get it back, actually. Even after the conveyance was signed, they wanted to get it back. And this idea of wanting to get something that belongs to someone else, you know, Srila Prabhupada says, is jealousy. And he said that was the mentality of Duryodhana. Actually, the Pandavas had the right to the throne, to the kingdom, but Duryodhana, he wanted what wasn't his. He wanted the kingdom. And that, Srila Prabhupada said, is jealousy. We find it all the time. People have something and we want it from them. We want to take it from them. It happens all the time. And Srila Prabhupada also related that to the present political situation, that as soon as someone is elected to office, immediately the opposition wants to get the position away from the person. It's like he won the election, it's his right to rule for whatever, 6 years or 4 years or 2 years. But they want it. They want to get it away from him. This, according to Prabhupada's definition, that's jealousy. I read recently that the new speaker of the House, he's in one party. He announced that the first priority of their party is to see that the president, who's in the other party, is a one-term president, not reelected. That's the first priority. And so Prabhupada says, where's the interest of the people? No one's thinking about the interest of the people. They're just thinking how they can get into the position that the other person has. So that jealousy that was manifested in Juhu, that Srila Prabhupada in the end got the property, but these other people were jealous. They wanted it. So what is this nonsense building a temple? They wanted the property to build a hotel. We can make so much money, such a valuable property. So they were jealous. So in the course of this struggle, I met a very wealthy man in Bombay. I won't mention the name, but you will all know the name. Prabhupada thought he could help us because he had a lot of influence in the government. Yeah, we had got the land, but the government wasn't giving us the permission to build the temple, so we thought. So anyway, I went to the man in his office in downtown Bombay. And the man said, why do you want to build a temple in Juhu? You should go outside of the city to some secluded place where there's nobody around and you can just do whatever you want and can be in nature's beauty. He avoided, maybe he didn't want to make the effort to help, or whatever the reason was. So when I mentioned what he had said to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada replied by quoting this verse, that what he thinks the Bhagavad Gita is meant to be spoken to the monkeys and birds, the Bhagavad Gita is meant to be spoken to the saintly kings. It's meant to be right in the center of public activity, not in the remote jungles of Maharashtra. So these are all demonic qualities. All demonic qualities. They want to get Krishna out of the way, get the Bhagavad Gita out of the way, get the devotees out of the way, and we enjoy. This is demonic. And you can see the different, although Arjuna was covered by illusion, but still at heart he was a devotee. He was thinking, Swajana, they're my own people. How can I kill my own people? Even though the Bhagavad Gita describes Yutsava, that they had gathered in the mood to fight. But still, Swajana, because they're his own people, he didn't want to fight. Didn't want to kill them. But the other side, Duryodhana and others, they weren't thinking like Arjuna because they were demonic. They don't mind killing. So So these two natures are always there. And we face them in life when we preach. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said one of the functions of the Krishna consciousness movement is to polarize people. Then we see who's a devotee and who's a demon. Now people don't like to do that. They want to be like friends with everyone. This is always there, that Ramakrishna had the motto yatamattatapat, that, you know, everyone can approach the goal in his own way. If you don't speak the truth, you never know where people stand, and you can't really help them. So this is a very big issue, whether we speak the truth or not. If we have knowledge from the Bhagavad Gita, we know what the truth is. Now, if somebody speaks some untruth, which is against what is in the Bhagavad Gita, are we going to speak the truth? Lolita says yes. She's still innocent. Are we going to speak the truth or not? This is a big question. And we probably all face it all the time. And what do we choose to do? Now, if we don't speak the truth, I mean, there are different implications of it, but one implication of it is that we are being duplicitous. Somebody speaks some nonsense, some untruth, which is against what is in the Bhagavad Gita, and we remain silent or we smile. So externally we're showing one thing, but internally we're thinking something else. We're thinking, actually, what that person said is not right, but I'm not going to say anything. So there's a duality between what we're thinking internally and what we're speaking. And that duality, or whatever, duplicity, hypocrisy, that passes in society as being liberal. I'm being liberal. I'm not interfering with what the other person believes. And if you do speak the truth, then the other side thinks, oh, you're very orthodox, you're very sectarian. Recently I've been reading the book Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Vaibhav, about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, written by Srila Prabhupada's disciple Bhakti Vikash Swami. I do highly recommend the book. So he says that if by speaking the truth he angers other people, and provokes them to attack him, he will be very happy, and he will preach with 100 times more strength. That's a pure devotee. No compromise. No compromise, just speaking the truth. But, you know, we want to keep our material, you know, want to keep our material situation peaceful, so we don't want to do that. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati coined a phrase in Bengali, which I don't remember exactly. But the idea is, I don't say anything and you don't say anything. Like, I don't criticize you, you don't criticize me. Just keep everything peaceful. But of course that's an illusion, because we're in the material world and things are not peaceful. They may be temporarily, but there will be upheavals. Sooner or later there will be upheavals. So this is a false attempt to achieve peace on a false platform. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, they set the example how to preach the message of the Bhagavad Gita as it is, without compromise. And it's very exhilarating. It's very exhilarating. You actually feel Krishna's intervention. I remember when I would meet people in India, probably the most unpleasant experience was arguing with Mayavadis. Mayavadis are impersonalists. They think that Krishna is has a material body like you and me, and that ultimately you have to go beyond all these forms and merge into impersonal Brahman. And it's almost impossible to win an argument with a Mayavadi. I mean, you can defeat them philosophically, but it's very rare that they admit defeat. So I had so many experiences like that, especially late in the day, either at a program in the evening or in someone's office or home. And at the end, I feel so disturbed having to listen to all that nonsense and having to argue. But almost inevitably, the next morning, I felt extremely purified and enlivened. And it happened so frequently, I understood this is Krishna's reciprocation, that he's actually pleased that I'm defending him and speaking the truth with the Mayavadis. So something that might be unpalatable to our senses might very well be the best thing for our souls. And that was Arjuna's situation. This is very unpalatable to his senses, having to kill his friends and family. Extremely unpalatable. But in the end, when he realized, you know, that he's part and parcel of Krishna, he's not the body, but the soul, and Krishna is the supreme soul, and his real relationship is with Krishna, and his real constitutional position is to serve Krishna, then he changed his decision. In the beginning, he was thinking, Viparya, this is the opposite. You know, I wanted to win my kingdom to be happy, and now I'm seeing just the opposite. I have to kill my family and friends. I don't want to do this. I'm not going to do what Krishna said. But later, after he heard the Bhagavad Gita and was enlightened about who he is, who he is, what the body is, who Krishna is, what his relationship with the body is, what his relationship with Krishna is, then he wasn't thinking like that, Viparyaya, just the opposite. Then he agreed. Yes, Krishna asked Arjuna, now you've heard the Bhagavad Gita. Now, what would you like to do? Krishna says, yatechasi tathakuru. Now you've heard what I've said, now you can do whatever you like. Because everyone is free. Everyone has minute independence. And Krishna himself does not interfere with it. But then Arjuna said, nashta moha. I hear that same word, nashta, the true meaning of the Bhagavad Gita was nashta. It's like sort of lost, gone. So Arjuna said, nashta moha, that now my illusion is gone. Smriti labdha, now I've come back to my original consciousness. Karishye vachanam tava. Now I'm prepared to follow your instructions. So that should be the result of hearing the Bhagavad Gita, reading the Bhagavad Gita, studying the Bhagavad Gita. We begin in illusion. Everyone is in illusion. But after understanding the Bhagavad Gita, we should change our decision and surrender to Krishna. That's the whole conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita, to surrender to Krishna. But that, of course, requires a lot. And as long as we are in ignorance or illusion, we will think, why? Why should I? No, I have my wife or husband, I have my children, I have my house, I have my income, I have my prestige in society. Why? Why should I surrender to Krishna and give all that up? So that's the general mentality. But if we've actually properly heard and understand the Bhagavad Gita, we'll realize this is all temporary. temporary. It comes and goes. You know, husband's going to come and go. Wife's going to come and go. Parents are going to come and go. Children are going to come and go. Body's going to, you know, it's all going. There's not even a question. We know that everything that we're attached to now, we're going to be separated from. But we're so engrossed in the moment. Like Shreyas and Preyas. Preyas means like immediate gratification. Immediate gratification. I got my husband, I got my wife, I got my children, I got my parents, got my house, got my income, got my car, got my prestige, you know. So much. It's all going to go. It's all going to go. And I think, well, okay. That's true. That's true. I do have to become Krishna conscious. But not now. Not when I'm so young. In my old age, I'll become Krishna conscious. Not now. Now I have too much going for me. You know, I'm not going to give this up for Krishna now. I know I have to remember Krishna at the time of death. So when I'm old, I will... I'll get serious. Not now. I got too much going for me. And in this series of lectures that I'm listening to, Srila Prabhupada speaking on the Bhagavad Gita, he says that it's not so easy to think of Krishna at the time of death. You have to prepare for it now. You have to have you have to cultivate spiritual understanding now. And he gives the example of the parrot chanting. That the parrot also chants Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But as soon as the cat comes and grabs the parrot and is ready to devour the parrot, then ka, 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 ka. No Hare Krishna. Just ka, 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 ka. So Srila Prabhupada said, you may be chanting Hare Krishna, but if your heart is really not in the chanting in Krishna, if your heart is really into all these other things, you know, husband, wife, children, parents, home, prestige, and so on, then your chanting is something like the chanting of the parrot. It's sort of going on externally, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But as soon as death comes in the form of the cat, no Hare Krishna. It says, ka, 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 ka. So that could happen to us if we don't actually make our relationship with Krishna primary, our focus, the central point in everything that we do. And most people, religious people, they include God, but they want God to preserve their material situation or add to it. There are very few people who actually want to surrender to God and just do whatever God wants. But they're pious, that's also good, Chaturvijabhajantimam. They're considered pious because even though they have material desires, they're going to God. So they're considered pious. And those who don't go to God are considered mischievous. Namam duskritina mudha. But this pious and impious, this is all the material platform, more or less. Real spiritual life comes when you surrender to God and are ready to execute His orders. And that's His order. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, most munificent incarnation of Godhead, He gave the order. Yari deke tarikaha Krishna upadesh. That wherever you go, whoever you meet, you repeat the message of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada said, even if you're not so knowledgeable, if you are, that's wonderful. Then you can really present the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita. But he said, even if you're not so knowledgeable, you can still tell people, become a devotee of Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna, become a devotee of Krishna. Something we should tell them, the truth. Tell them the truth. So this is quite a momentous occasion. Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita again. And new pious people have come together here to chant Hare Krishna and discuss the Bhagavad Gita. But we should try to consider what Krishna is actually saying in the Bhagavad Gita, what's actually taking place between Krishna and Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, and see how we can actually gain from the Bhagavad Gita, get the real benefit of the Bhagavad Gita by understanding it and applying it. And then distributing that knowledge to our capacity. I'll just conclude with one story. There was a Brahmin named Arjunacharya, and he would read the Bhagavad Gita, and then he would go out and beg alms and come back, and his wife would cook. He lived like a regular Brahmin. So he came to the verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Yoga Kshema Bhajamyaham. Krishna says that I preserve what my devotee has and I carry what he lacks. So when Arjunacharya saw this, he thought, nah, it can't be true. Maybe Krishna sends someone on his behalf, but it can't be true that Krishna yoga, kshema, bhajami, aham, I. No, it can't be true. So he took his pen and made his note. Like, and then he went out to beg alms. And he was living simply as a Brahmin. And then after some time, a beautiful young boy comes burdened with all sorts of foodstuffs. Rice, dal, atta, ghee, vegetables, sugar, spices, all sorts of provisions. And he's like carrying this huge burden. He can hardly carry it. And he came to the house. And Arjunacharya's wife was there. And she invited him in. She said, "Oh, wow, where did all this come from?" He said, "Well, your husband sent me with it." He said, "Oh, please come. Please stay. I'll cook prasad. I'll feed you. You look to be very tired, and you should take some rest, and I will cook and I will feed you also." He said, no, I can't. I can't stay. Because your husband is very cruel. You know, if I'm a little late, he abuses me. So I can't stay. I have to go." And when he turned around, she saw that there were wounds on his body. He said, "Your husband did this to me. I have to go." So after some time, the husband came, and he was very despondent. He said, I went so many places to beg alms, nobody gave me anything. I think today we'll have to fast." Said, "No, that boy came, beautiful young boy came with so many provisions. I've already cooked a whole feast." "No, how is that possible?" So then she described what had happened, and then he started to think that, oh, maybe that boy was Krishna. Maybe Krishna came. And then he thought of the Bhagavad Gita, where he struck out that portion where Krishna said, "I carry what my devotee lacks." So he went to get his Bhagavad Gita, and he saw the ink where he had crossed out that word was gone. But his cutting that word from the Bhagavad Gita is like cutting the body of the Lord, cutting the body of Krishna. So this is another sort of anomaly in the reading of the Bhagavad Gita, that one, of course it's not exactly the same, but that one will cut some portions. This was a little different because Arjunacharya just didn't believe it was true, but sometimes you, people want to cut certain portions that they feel are not favorable for them, and then they keep the part that they like. Like Srila Prabhupada used to say, and it's true, you know, people like this shloka, "Karma ne bhadikaraste," that you are entitled to do your duty. "Oh, that's great. I can do my duty, I can work, I can make money, I can maintain my family, I can be happy. And then when they come to the verse Sarvadharman Paritya Jama Me Kam Saranam Braja, I give up everything and just surrender to Krishna. Not that. So this is called Ardhakutiya Nyaya, the logic of half a hen. That if a farmer has a hen, every day the hen lays an egg. Very good. But then the farmer thinks, you know, the real valuable part of the hen is the hind portion. The hind portion is what gives the eggs. The neck portion is just troublesome. I have to feed so much food into that neck. I don't get anything from the neck. I only get benefit from the hind portion. Okay, I'll just cut the neck. Be done with that part, get that out of the way, and I'll just keep the hind portion. And of course, when you do that, you lose the hen. You lose the eggs. So that half hen logic, that can apply to the way people read the Bhagavad Gita. That this, oh, karma nevadikar, oh, that's so great. You can become perfect by doing it. Oh, that's wonderful. I'll keep that. These are so precious, so good. And, you know, sarvadharman paritya jama me kam saranam braja, give up all other duties and just surrender to me. Oh, no, not that. Not now, maybe later. You just cut that part, keep that aside. As soon as you do that, you lose the real benefit of the Bhagavad Gita. Now, it's true that there are different instructions in the Bhagavad Gita that are meant for different people under different circumstances. That is a fact. So, you know, some things are meant for brahmacharis, some are for grihasthas, some are for vanaprasthas, some are for sannyasis. Some are for Brahmins, some are for Kshatriyas, some are for Vaishyas, some even for Sudras. So that's there. Different instructions are meant for different people. But the ultimate instruction, you know, man mana bhava man bhakto madhiji mana sarvadharma prityaja manikasana, that's the ultimate instruction for everyone. So we can't cut that. Hare Krishna. So, any questions or comments? Yes.
When we're sharing this with others, and it's say, like, I work in a restaurant, so I see, like, the same people all day, every day for, like, past 3 years, and gradually, like, encouraging them different ways to come with programs or different things, but some people are very, like, they're very, like, adamant with a certain philosophy, or they're very, like, stuck, you know, like, they're very much attached to certain things. So how to encourage them and at the same time, like, give them the truth about what's happening to them?
That is a very good question. Well, you know, it really depends on how much they're prepared to discuss and how much you're prepared to discuss. They have their philosophies and we have ours. And you've presented ours to them and they've presented theirs to you?
Some people have and some people they just would rather not
just, yeah, they just say they have their own beliefs and they just came to eat the food and they don't want to discuss. But I think we have to leave them. You know, they have their minute independence, and you can't really force them to discuss if they don't want to. But if they want to, then you should be prepared to speak the truth. Yes, Shem.
This was just showing some interest. We don't tell them that, you know, all the, like, to the rules or, you know, what we practice. And would it be wrong that sometimes, let's say at work, you, if they're asking and you're not telling them the, knowing what their mindset is, and they're expressing and they've got the, it's going to end up as an argument that you don't actually express the true philosophy. You know, as Krishna, you know, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or I mean, something like that, would that be against, like what you're saying, that you have to tell the truth? But if you feel that the person is simply going to be agitated or going to argue about it, so not telling them, you will not be wrong.
Well, we have to elevate people step by step. Even the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadharma and Parichaya, comes in the 18th chapter, and there's a lot that comes before that. So when we preach, we have to educate them gradually. You know, if they don't know they're not the body, but they're in fact the soul within the body, then how will they understand Krishna? Because they'll be completely on the material platform. So we have to, you know, go step by step the way Krishna does in the Bhagavad Gita. But the ultimate goal is to bring them to surrender to Krishna. But you have to start with them at their present level. And the first thing is, do they understand that they're not the body but the soul within the body? That's the first thing. And then if they understand that they're the soul within the body, then what happens when the soul leaves the body? Because people have so many misconceptions. They believe in the soul, but in a sort of sentimental way. They believe the soul exists while it's in the body, but then when it leaves the body, it doesn't exist anymore. You know, I mean, they just have so many different ideas. So we have to find out what is their conception of what happens to the soul after it leaves the body. Do they agree that the soul is eternal? Like Buddhists, they sort of accept that there's a soul, that there's something when the person's alive, but they don't think that it exists individually, you know. That. So, help them along step by step.
Sometimes when you take the shot to work, you know, and some of them have a staunch, a certain faith that they don't want to accept things that is offered. So would it be wrong if they ask me if I have done something spiritual, I say no. So I'm like, I mean, is that nothing?
Well, Krishna also wanted you to steer to life. For Krishna, you see. We shouldn't do it for our Sanskrit. This untruthfulness, that's like for our Sanskritification. We don't want to speak the truth because we're afraid that there'll be repercussions for my Sanskritification. That's different. But, I mean, you know, it's a delicate thing because if they find out you were lying, that'll be very bad. So, I mean, telling a little white lie isn't really a problem, but if you get caught telling a little white lie, it could be a problem. So if you're going to do it, you have to make sure that you're expert enough not to get caught. Yeah. Yeah, Srila Prabhupada told the story because the devotee was doing something, cheating for Krishna, and in the end he got caught. You know, Srila Prabhupada was very upset. And, you know, he said if he was an expert, he shouldn't have done it. And then he told a story. There was an island, and the main business on the island was smuggling. So one man got caught, he was brought into the courtroom for justice, and he was found guilty and convicted. And he appealed to the judge. You know, everyone on this island engages in smuggling. Everyone knows it. So why are you punishing me? He said, I'm not punishing you for smuggling. I'm punishing you for getting caught. So it is a fact that you can tell little lies for Krishna, but you know, don't get caught. And in this case, Prabhupada was really upset because that person had misjudged his ability. You know, he thought he was more expert than he was.
I want to share a little comment. At work, I have a colleague who is from an Indian background, and young man, but he's married. His wife is still coming from India. He's not here yet. So this young man wants to enjoy his life. He wants to, you know, do everything that America, you know, in America we have those kinds of enjoyment. But he shows that he's very confused. Whenever I approach him, we speak, he is saying like this, I have my own belief, I have my own way of thinking. But somehow Krishna tricked him, or is tricking him, because he now has a roommate temporarily, and that roommate is a devotee. And now that when he calls me over the phone, he says Haribo. And his roommate is Bharat.
Bharat, I heard you're doing good book distribution.
Just trying to do something.
Yeah, that's the best. That's the best. Then they get Prabhupada speaking the truth. That's the best. But we also have to speak the truth. Like once we were pretty early when we came to Bombay. Srila Prabhupada had a friend, a very wealthy man named Bridratan Mota, and one of Prabhupada's disciples named Brahmananda was going and meeting him. and Mr. Mota was asking him questions. And so when Prabhupada came to Bombay, Mr. Mota came to see Prabhupada, and he said, you know, Brahmananda's coming, we're discussing the Bhagavad Gita. And when I ask him questions, he just opens the book and reads from the book. So he wasn't very satisfied. So then Prabhupada called in Brahmananda, that, you know, Mr. Mota said this. He said, well, you know, whatever question he asks, I open the book and I give him the answer. And Prabhupada made a face like, he doesn't want to know what's in the book. He wants to know what you know. So, you know, we can't just distribute the books and not know what's in them. We have to be able to explain what's in them, which I'm sure you do, or hope you do. But yeah. Yes, Kandar Pamanjari. Of course we wanted them to be connected with ISKCON, but when we spoke to them, we spoke the truth. We didn't. I mean, there was that time in Madras when people were putting a lot of pressure on me to be more congenial. But, you know, in the end, Prabhupada wrote a letter. I had my own experience, and then in the end, Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter that my Guru Maharaj never compromised in his preaching, and similarly, I will never compromise in my preaching, and similarly, none of my students should compromise in their preaching. We must declare it boldly that unless people surrender to Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all of their hopes for peace and prosperity will be futile. He said, the fact is that I'm the only one in India who's openly criticizing not only impersonalism and demigod worship, but anything that falls short of complete surrender to Krishna. So that's our line. And in that other book, Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Bhairav, you get that. That's the line. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati used to say, Prabhupada said it, and it comes out in the book as well, he used to say, don't worry about money, don't go to flatter rich people, don't worry about money, just preach the message of Krishna and money will come. To be intelligent, I mean, you don't want to create enemies unnecessarily. Sometimes people become enemies. You want to create enemies if you don't know how to speak properly. And that was the other thing, that Prabhupada was very cordial with everyone. I mean, when it came to philosophy, he would speak the truth, but if there were philosophical differences, he wouldn't. Like his friend Dr. Mishra, he said that when it came to matters of philosophy, they would fight vehemently, but otherwise they were friends. when Dr. Mishra was sick, Prabhupada cooked for him and brought his health back. So
Mother, I have a question. So I was reading 9th chapter of the Gita. So there were those Mahatma Mahaprabhu Dharma Prakriti Mahashita Bhajan Dharana Mahasa Jata Bhosari Mahaviya. The purpose proper explains that the Mahatma, the three devotees, he never been attracted to other forms of Krishna. Even Narayana form also. They always attracted to Shyamachandra form. So when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, the whole canto is all two devotees, Prahlad, Ambarish, all two devotees what we discuss in Bhagavatam, they always kind of attract to Narayana form. Only 10th canto we could read more about Krishna, pastimes, everything. So when we read this purport, it's kind of, I feel, contradictory. I mean, the way I understood, he never attracted to other forms of Krishna. He is not considered a Mahatma. So can you please give your comment on that? So, I mean, I'm just thinking, so are we aspiring more than Prahlad? So Prahlad is attracted to Narayana form, Vishnu form. So this purport says they never attracted to any other forms of Krishna, but somehow what I have done or what devotees they have done, they got attracted to Krishna form. So am I aspiring more than what Prahlad has? It's a bit kind of confused.
So that, I mean, I'm not, just today I was reading a commentary that said that that specific word Mahatma in the Bhagavad Gita refers specifically to pure devotees of Krishna. Now certainly the others are Mahajans, you know.
Yeah, Bhishma.
Yeah. Well, they're all, yeah. But I just read that today, that that specific word Mahatma in the Bhagavad Gita refers specifically to pure devotees of Krishna.
Because this kind of challenge when you go and talk to people, especially in South India, so there are more Vaishnavism, Ramanujacharya, Shri Sampradaya. So wherever we go, most of the people worship Vishnu form. So here, so when people come to ISKCON, so we present that the topmost rank in Vaikuntha, Vrindavanda, as per our scriptures. So we chant Hare Krishna mantra, everything, so we aspire to reach a higher planet system in the Vaikuntha, in the Vaikuntha realm. So when you go and talk to people, so they all kind of they consider Krishna, Vishnu, both are same. We also agree with that. But so when you present that, I mean, worship Krishna, you reach the topmost planet in Vaikuntha, then kind of a bit they get confused.
Well, it's not good if you confuse them. I mean, when we went to India, Srila Prabhupada said, as long as they're worshipping some form of Vishnu, we don't make it an issue that they should worship Krishna. I mean, if they're reading the Bhagavad Gita as it is, and they get to the 9th chapter, and they read that in the purport, and then they ask you about it, you can say, well, that's true of Mahatmas, but in the Bhagavad Gita the word Mahatma is used in a very specific sense, but it doesn't mean that that you have to imitate Mahatmas. You follow, you know, Mahajana Yatasa Pantha, follow the Mahajans, follow any of the Mahajans. Yeah, we have to be careful what to say and what not to say. Gauge the person's level and tell him what he needs to come to the next level. Although in this book, I just read it today, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that this preaching according to time, place, and circumstance, that can also be an excuse for not speaking the truth. Ha 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 ha.